Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing leasing efficiency, the impact on budgets and balance sheets. I have joining me in the studio two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Peter Roisman, president and CEO of PM Workforce, and Harris Simons, a multifamily property owner and co-founder of PM Workforce. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks, Paul. Nice to be here.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, so leasing efficiency, I think before we jump into what that means, we need to kind of talk a little bit about what's the current status, the current situation with leasing in multifamily. I mean, we're right in the middle of coming to the tail end of a global pandemic that's affected a lot of the ways multifamily properties operate, including the leasing. So, you know, Peter, what are your thoughts on what the current situation with leasing is?
Well, I think we have a lot to be optimistic about, yet I don't think we should get ahead of ourselves. We've still got, as you probably know, 6 months more of dealing with COVID. Mm-hmm. And there have been a lot of changes and adaptations by the marketplace to the restrictions on getting together with people, and that includes touring them and meeting with them and signing leases in person. So I think we're trending upwards on that. I see still we're visiting our clients' properties. I see still self-guided tours in place, and obviously virtual touring is still, you know, being used in many places. But on the other hand, with proper precautions and planning, you can safely do tours and keep distance. And, I see us coming out of it. More and more people are getting vaccinated. I think, what was it, 50 million vaccinations have been given, meaning 25 million people out of a country of 340 million people. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've got a long way to go, but I think President Biden's got the right approach, which is to, you know, get the most endangered people vaccinated quickly, then get the next group, and then the next group. That'd probably be me and Harris. So and you. We're looking forward to getting to the third group, whatever
yes,
that is.
That's true. Well, and let me ask you, what have you seen? I mean, first, when this all started, the global pandemic, nobody knew what to do, how to do things. You know, there was no procedures in place. I'm talking about at multifamily properties. And one of the big comments I've heard in doing this weekly radio show throughout this whole pandemic is how much the message would change. You know, first it would be proceeding in one manner, and then the next thing you know, they're going in a different direction. No fault of anybody's, just not knowing what to expect or what was coming down the road. What did you see as far as with your clients when it comes to leasing and how they were handling it in the early days, and where are we today?
Well, initially, I think nobody knew anything. Mm-hmm. So the fear factor was as high as it could possibly be. So the office is shut down. Mm-hmm. And so everything was 100% online. Anything you could do, I don't even think people were doing self-guided tours at that point. Mm-hmm. And so a big shift from that to, I think now self-guided tours are fairly common, and I think actually in-person touring is fairly common. And with limitations on the number of people in offices, I see people going into offices wearing masks and keeping distances. But as you say, when no one knew anything at the beginning of this, a lot of things were possibilities and a lot of things were tried. And I think we've learned a few things coming through this. We've learned that, you know, I think virtual touring is here as a early stage of leasing. Mm-hmm. It's not a closer. You'll get an occasional closing out of that, but it's a good way to get people really interested in your properties. And it's put a huge, huge emphasis on marketing,
yeah,
and social media, and so and advertising. So what's happened without people being able to drive by and stop in necessarily over all these months, they're searching the internet and, right. And finding out about properties in different ways.
Harris, I'm curious from the perspective of a property owner, what were you seeing in the early days of this on the properties that you had?
Sure. That's a great question. I think in the beginning, everybody was telling me they can do everything from home mm-hmm. and how efficient they were. And for the first day, they were. There's no traffic. Nobody was coming to the properties. Peter mm-hmm. talked about the fear factor. The next month, or as time went on, everybody kept on selling me how efficient they were from working from home. And I started getting angrier and angrier and started getting so detached because I wasn't able to. There was nobody on the property. Mm-hmm. And I started getting more and more frustrated. Getting people back to the property was a big problem for us and took many months. And, you know, I was consulting with Peter over the time, and he was giving me data about how people are doing it, how they're slowly going back and how to get the standards and everything, you know, make sure the properties are have the right protocol and everything. And I got another eye on it. When I got the people back, I realized things aren't going to change for what we do. Mm-hmm. For in the leasing business, you have to be on site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Peter, you know, you mentioned that, you know, there's a certain population that's been vaccinated, and we know that that's it's coming down the road. We're trying to get to the herd immunity where things can resemble whatever normal will be at that time. What do you see for the future throughout the rest of this year as far as leasing and leasing practices? When do you think it's going to get back to the way it was, if it does get back to that way?
Well, today, Paul, we could get back to where we were, taking the proper precautions and protocols. Mm-hmm. There's no reason that an in-person tour can't be given in most properties. I mean, some may not lend themselves to that because of, you know, just too much crowding and not the ability to keep distance. But wearing masks and keeping distant, there's no reason that a brief tour couldn't be held today in most properties. There'll be some that are exceptions, but I would say as a rule, you could go back to what we would call close to normal mm-hmm. now. If there was a run on, let's say 3 or 4 people showed up at a property at the same time, you've got issues. I mean, you might have to take people outside and meet with them, right? Which is a possibility in probably a third of the country,
right?
Houston being one place, yes. and Florida being Texas, and Florida being others. Yeah. But you know, it'd be hard to go outside right now in Connecticut and Massachusetts, right. where they're getting 6 inches of snow. But yeah, I think we're getting there. I think you know, we're definitely not out of the woods with COVID, but you know, it's encouraging. I'm encouraged. I think. By the end of the year, we should, unless the variants take off, we should be back to what we knew as normal in January of 2020.
And just to, we got a couple of minutes left in this segment, but I'm curious, what have you seen on the properties that you're involved with regarding occupancy levels or during this pandemic? Have you seen a drop? Have you seen it just stay, you know, the same, or is there increases that are happening?
I think as a rule, we've seen them drop slightly. And it's not necessarily, I would point you to other types of numbers, paid rent, I would say, you know, as opposed to just pure occupancy,
sure.
right? I think turnover is lessened. So you don't have the high turnover rates in properties because it's easier for people to stay put given COVID. But on the other hand, a lot of people lost jobs. 20 million people were out of work, so they couldn't pay. So that left an owner and a manager in a position of, and then there were also, you know, moratoriums on evictions.
Right.
So basically, you kept a lot of people in place, which kept your occupancy numbers basically stable, mm-hmm. you know, more or less stable. But you know, if you look hard at it, are they stable with people that are paying your rent or not paying your rent?
Right.
Right. And how quickly, you know, will those people move out once the moratoriums are up on evictions and COVID, you know, lays down a bit and they can actually move? So I think you'll see that the turnover will happen as we get, you know, closer to, you know, normalizing.
Yeah. Harris, you know, we got a minute left.
Okay, I'll be quick.
Yeah.
So things that I notice, people come in, they be really honest, can't pay rent. Mm-hmm. I get it. I got to go home. Okay, let's just rip up the lease. Totally mm-hmm. get it. Then there are other people who think, you know, I'm going to cheat the system. I'm not going to pay you rent. There's a moratorium. I can pay, but I'll hold it out 6-9 months. You can't do anything to me. Mm-hmm. But then when the moratorium lifted, they have to pay the money.
Yeah.
And so we saw two different types of people. What we try to do is be very, you have to have a lot of empathy.
Sure.
Someone can't pay rent. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
They got to move home. Yeah, you know, you got to let it go.
Yeah. I mean, I have seen a lot of people in the industry that have talked about, you know, this is the time to show compassion with your, you know, with your residents and, you know, putting yourself in their situation. Although it certainly has been a big hit for a lot of owners through this whole thing. So we're going to take a break right here. We're going to be back with our next segment of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of leasing efficiency, the impact on budgets and balance sheets. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Peter Roisman, President and CEO of PM Workforce, and Harris Simons, a multifamily property owner and co-founder of PM Workforce. I do want to take a moment and remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Peter, you know, we've talked through the first segment about the situation, the current status of leasing, multifamily leasing, with COVID being a major player as far as the successes or lack of success. We've also talked and mentioned leasing efficiency. For our listeners, define leasing efficiency as you see it.
Well, it's something we really focus in on, Paul, because under the current model in multifamily, the leasing position is the lowest an entry-level position in a property management office, meaning the least experienced, the least talented usually, or the least proficient person gets put in that position. And so when that's the source of 95%+ of the revenues for every property, we as a company have made the decision that that's the wrong way to approach this. And so we take a look at leasing. Leasing is everything we do. Mm-hmm. So to get to be purely efficient at leasing, we have to recruit and train exceptionally well. And so we do it better at this point than anybody else in the marketplace, fortunately. But leasing efficiency to me means you're that as an owner or a manager, you're paying the correct price and getting a great level of work for that price. That's pure efficient labor. And there's no gaps in service. And so We believe we can give you the best price, save you money, and provide you with the best leasing work, so you'll actually realize more money that way. And what it means is, rather than carrying your own employee, where you have, you know, typically you give 2 weeks vacation, there are 10 days of holidays in a year, there are 5 days of PTO, you might have bereavement or jury duty or snow days up north, you know, 28 days where you're paying for that person and you're getting zero labor. So that's inefficient labor in terms of leasing labor. And so what we do is, you know, it's actually the pure efficient model, because you get what you pay for. If you want to hire us, and you want to get the specific days that you, I mean, let's say you want to go 4 days a week, you can pick the days you need it. Okay, you don't have to carry an employee for the whole week. And there's no carry cost. So the 35% of carrying an employee is huge, and it involves health care, it involves payroll taxes. Our people do get commissions and bonuses, but it's at a much reduced rate than typical payroll people. And so we're saving people a lot of money, as much as $20,000 a head, actually. Mm. So if you can plug in a very efficient leasing person that you have full control over at a touch of a fingertip to change in and or out, there's also the hiring and firing aspect of this. Let's say you hired someone and it's not working out. Well, you probably got about seven people involved to get that person out of your system. Mm-hmm. And us, you touch a button and tomorrow you have another great leasing person. Mm-hmm. So that's what we call pure efficiency. I'd love to hear maybe what Harris has to say from an owner's perspective, but that's how we look at it from PM Workforce.
Yeah, and Harris, I'll pose the question to you this way. what Peter was saying was that, you know, you've got a situation with your leasing staff that you hire on your own that's costing you a lot of money. You've got to manage those people in a certain way. You know, what, from your standpoint, are the advantages of doing something on an on-call basis like this?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm very detached from our leasing people. I've always been extraordinarily detached. Even though I'm very hands-on, for some reason I was always looking to the property manager or the regional manager to give me the insight. Unless I sat at the property and saw with my own eyes what was going on. And when I first met with Peter on this business, he was sitting on our property watching everybody. He just sat there and watched, and he was giving me all these observations. The saddest observation I got was, because I wasn't taking advantage of this leasing efficiency, the data, the verbal expressions that people are going, the ideas, they're being dismissed by the property manager, ideas I never heard of that could add things that would have enhanced the property. It was all on deaf ears. Why aren't we hitting numbers? Mm-hmm. And these were sometimes very small investments to make in the property. When I did what Peter did, sat and watched on the property, these verbal expressions, I started to learn more about the property I own, got more hands-on, and was able to make more of an impact to the property than ever before. And Peter was shocked when I was telling him, by having hands-on, eyes on the property, how much we were able to increase the cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And Peter, I'm playing devil's advocate here. You're talking about the fact that you can save $20,000 a head by going this route of leasing efficiency. But will that negatively impact my leasing numbers, my occupancy?
No, the opposite, Paul. Actually, we I'll tell you a story. Early on, the first person we ever placed 2 years ago on a property, not only did so well that she got offered a job, but she got offered a manager's job, right? And this was our first trainee, okay? Mm-hmm. So from a production standpoint, we knew, and we kept numbers in the early days about our leasing professionals versus the resident leasing agents. And we were, for the first 6 months, we were getting about four leases a week, and the resident agents were getting about three leases a week. So mm-hmm. even just that one lease a week in the early days, and it's more significant now. Our training has gotten better, our requirements have gotten more stringent, and you know, our performance has improved. But no, in fact, we'll actually drive your revenues higher at the same time we're costing you less. I mean, that spread, if you will, is how you determine value of a property. And so, you know, cap rates are 4 and 5, so it's either 25 or 20 times multiples of earnings. So you save $20,000, it's times, you're really saving $20,000 times 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's a huge, in terms of an equity position, it's, from an owner's perspective, that's real value. From a merchant builder's perspective, someone that's flipping properties, that's you know, they talk about balance sheets and bottom right. lines, and you're adding a lot of money for them and their investors.
Yeah, and you know, the fact that the title of our topic is leasing efficiency, the impact on budgets and balance sheets. Let's talk about...
Could I try to interject something,
sure.
with Peter? And I'll give you a difference. When someone told me, hypothetically, that I had 2% occupancy, right? That'd be great. Let's go to the next subject. I'd let it go.
2% unoccupied.
Oh, 2% unoccupied. Thank you. And Peter's like, you know what? My people, we have 2% more to do. We haven't perfected the situation. And it sort of answers your question differently. His goal is to lease 100% of the units all the time. And that was my conversion. As an owner, I would fall asleep if I'm 97, 98%. I wouldn't think about getting that extra occupancy.
Yeah.
But it's extra occupancy at a lower cost. So even if it was on par with your current leasing people, you'll still be...
Ahead,
making more money and having your property be more valuable.
And so, you know, obviously the cost of doing it is less. So that's going to affect your balance sheet and your budget. But what other ways does leasing efficiency affect your balance sheet and your budget?
Well, just by driving, let's say we did get that extra lease a week, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's, you call it $1,500 in times 4.3 weeks is close to $7,000 a month. That's $84,000 a year that could be used in improvements, maybe take some of it, you know, as profit. But, you know, if you keep improving your property, you know, there's a pretty good chance you're going to stay in the top position in your local market. And that's always what you want. You're competing locally against everybody in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from a bottom line perspective, you can get more investors if you're showing a better return. So you take some of that money, probably show a better return to your current investors and attract more investors if you're an owner and an asset manager. But it's just a way of perfecting the business. And there are always improvements in every industry. And, you know, multifamily's had some success, but it's the success has unfortunately bred complacency because good is good enough, and that's not good enough for our company.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to ask you a question. We've got just a little bit of time left in this segment. I'm going to ask you a question. All I want is a yes or no answer, and then we're going to follow up in the next segment. Obviously, if you are providing these people for the industry to be leasing professionals and they're superstars, you're obviously recruiting people from the multifamily industry. Yes or no?
No.
All right. We'll be back with why and right after this break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Could I say one?
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of leasing efficiency, the impact on budgets and balance sheets. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Peter Roisman, President and CEO of PM Workforce, and Harris Simons, a multifamily property owner and co-founder of PM Workforce. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Peter, I asked you a yes or no question before the break, which I think would be a typical way of thinking for most people, that obviously if you are bringing on these superstars to do leasing at multifamily properties, they've got to be people who are already superstars in multifamily. And I asked you to say yes or no, and you said no. Tell us why.
Well, Paul, it's counterintuitive. The way you know from firsthand experience, you've had 300 guests on your show over the last 4 years, and I think you told me all but two of those guests had started in leasing.
Correct.
So if every single person but two started in leasing, it means that they're no longer in leasing, mm-hmm. and they moved up into management. And so what does that leave? That leaves a position that's filled by people who are unpromoted. And so unpromoted people in leasing positions are not, I would say they're marginal. Mm-hmm. I don't know what a fair word is to call them, but they're certainly not people that we're interested in. So we're not recruiting from that pool of candidates. We are looking outside of the industry, and certainly with 20 million people out of work, there are a lot of people looking for new careers and new jobs. And so we look at 500 resumes, and by the time we have our classes every two weeks, we have a different recruiting class, and we're on class number 39 right now. So, and we'll bring in about 10 people and probably graduate five of those. So every two weeks, we're hiring five new leasing people, new professionals, and we won't categorize them or classify them as leasing professionals until they've had on-site experience, gone through all the classroom training, and we don't put people out who are new, and they actually have internships where they're unpaid, they're by the clients, but paid by us, mm-hmm. and so we take them on and take on that responsibility because we're investing in them, and at the end of all of this process, we have people now that have been trained for over 500 hours. We have people trained at the 250 mark. We have people trained 100 hours. And, you know, we're bringing in talent from all kinds of industries, banking, the military, teaching, retail, restaurant trade. And so, you know, automobile dealerships. I mean, we're looking for people with customer service skills, high motivation, and willing to invest in themselves to build a career for themselves, because for the first time, we're really taking a look at leasing as a career. I'll say that again. Leasing not as a stepping stone, but lease to management, as your mm-hmm. 298 guests did,
right.
But leasing as a career. And so we have 10 levels of leasing within our company. And it's own ladder, its own stepping stones, but it's all within leasing. And you can get to the top of this and be a mid, $150,000 a year person just in leasing. And it's not just, it's really a great career, and it's the source of revenue for the industry. So mm-hmm. we're putting the emphasis on leasing where it hasn't been put prior to us.
Yeah, and what kind of results on your properties have you seen with this, Harris?
Well, I could only tell you is that I haven't been able to convert great leasing people to great managers. They think different. Right mm-hmm. side of the brain, left side of the brain. Introvert, extrovert, and when I got there, I get a great leasing person. What do? I hire them to be an assistant manager or to mm-hmm. be a manager. I think things are much more transferable for an owner to, for a regional manager, a property manager to a regional manager. Leasing doesn't really transfer always to property management. I think it's been overlooked in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah, and let's talk a little bit about Transparency and accountability, that's got to be important as far as what you're doing for your clients.
Well, we look at transparency as our people. First of all, our people and our company work for our clients, right? We work for the owners of these properties and in some cases the managers of these properties. So we're an independent set of eyes and ears on all of these properties. And, you know, if we see something, we'll speak up and let ownership or management know so that they're getting the value of our expertise and the value of just independent thinking. And that's not always the case. We've Harris can speak to this for sure, and I would like him to, but there are many, many times when management companies are afraid to show, you know, the blemishes to the owners. They just want it to be smooth, even though things are happening every single day. And, you know, it's not up to us to necessarily, unless the owner wants us to. If the owner tells us, hey, you know, I want you to be an independent set of eyes and ears, and I want you to give me a report every day, we do that. Now, that's pretty powerful to an owner. Mm-hmm. That's what Harris was just talking about when he said, you know, if I go on property, I see things differently than what the reports I'm getting.
Yeah.
So that's transparency. Mm-hmm. Accountability is basically us saying what we can do and then doing it, right? I'm not sure that there's pure accountability in the industry right now, but for a company like ours, whereas if we're not performing at a higher level, all you have to do is say, you know, we won't be needing your services anymore. Now, I can tell you that hasn't been the case. It's been quite the opposite. I can give you an example. I may have used this example on this show before, but I'll do it again. There's a very large third-party management company out of Texas that has probably 60,000 units under management. They don't own anything. Mm-hmm. It's all third party, so they're dealing with their owners. And we got called in on two different properties, and they were in the 70s on one and low 80s on the other, and they couldn't fix it. So they called us in. They called the leasing management company. And so we went in. We sent them some people. And in 3 months and then in 4 months in the two properties, we got them into the mid-90s. When that happened, instead of using us as a long-term leasing solution, which is keep this in the mid-90s and maybe go higher, maybe get to that 100% mark like we always aspire to, but they got nervous as a third-party management company. So they said to us in writing, we're nervous that the industry is going to hurt us because we used you, because we didn't find the solution internally with our own employees. And we said, well, does it really matter? You know, aren't you servicing your owner and making the owner happy? And they said, well, we can't take that risk. Mm-hmm. So they actually let us go after solving their problem. We obsoleted ourselves in their minds. Mm-hmm. That's what got us to take the next step to become what we see. I said, from that point forward, I said, we're an owner product for sure. And secondly, we're a long-term leasing solution. We're not obsoleting ourselves. In fact, the opposite is true. Once we can get a property stabilized, you don't always have to have the same, you know, elite SWAT team come in to do the stabilization. You can bring in some other professionals that we've also hired, maybe at a slightly lower cost when it's stabilized, but maintain it and don't drop. I mean, you mm-hmm. work so hard. We worked really hard to get those two properties to the mid-90s.
Right.
Bring in a team that's going to get you to 100 and keep it at 100. And so it's just a different approach. And that's when we realize we're really an owner product. I mean, we have or a very progressive third-party management company. We've run across a few. We're doing business with some pretty progressive ones that are looking for innovations in the market. And, you know, interestingly, they came in like we did. I mean, we have experience in multifamily, but they came in from outside of multifamily. And that's why they're looking at new ways of doing it. The industry's gotten very complacent, and it's had its successes. I'm not saying this is not a great industry to be in, mm-hmm. and we're thrilled to be in it, but you can always do better, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, and I wanted to find out, you know, obviously you're taking the leasing situation and completely the way it's always been done and rethinking it and so forth. What was the reason for that? How did that come about?
Well, I think initially, we looked at ourselves as a staffing agency, and we quickly evolved beyond that because we just realized how weak those agencies were in terms of providing what the multifamily industry needed. Mm-hmm. I mean, they may be great in doing other things, but they weren't servicing the multifamily industry well. And so that, we realized we weren't competing against them at that point because we were already better than they were early on. We realized also quickly that all of the revenues, but for like parking fees and pet fees and application fees and then just the small fees, you know, might make up as much as 5%, but it's probably more like 3%. 97% of all revenues are driven by someone who's the least trained or most stagnant person in your office. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense in any other industry. There are highly professionalized leasing people in commercial, in retail, in every other aspect of property ownership. And so it just didn't make sense. We just found a flaw in the system, and we're trying to, you know, plug the hole, basically.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of leasing efficiency, the impact on budgets and balance sheets. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Peter Roisman, president and CEO of PM Workforce, and Harris Simons, a multifamily property owner and co-founder of PM Workforce. And Peter, you know, one of the things that we're talking about is that you kind of took the leasing task on multifamily properties and kind of turned it around a little bit with your business model. You know, one of the things we talked about, some of the advantages of the cost less and so forth, but there's also a lot of flexibility that an owner can have. Talk a little bit about some of the advantages of that.
Sure. So, you know, Glassdoor industry analyst estimates that it costs $4,200 and 24 days to hire one person. Mm-hmm. That's a tremendous amount of time and a fairly high cost. And the NAA tells us that one out of every three leasing professionals turns over every year. And so that's a chaotic situation with a high cost of replacement. We present a very viable option for not having to go through that process over and over and over again, because it is a cycle that repeats itself. Mm-hmm. You can literally hire us by touching a button, and you can have a great leasing professional, and you can fire us the same way, you know, touching a button. So, you know, the 24 days and $4,200 is the front end, but let's say it's not working, because a very high percentage of people that are getting hired in multifamily don't work out. Mm-hmm. If you just spent that time and money for nothing, and then you have to offload an employee, I don't know. My experience is it's up to 7 people that have to deal with that offloading, and it goes on and on and on and on. So it's hours and hours. The cost is extremely high on both ends. It's purely inefficient way of hiring and firing and using that key labor source, which is, you know, the revenue source of 97% of revenues in the industry, when you can just do it by touching a button. And that's kind of, you know, that's a problem we saw, and that's the solution we came up with.
You know, you got merchant builder, for instance, who may want to, develop a property, then lease it up to a certain level, and then flip it. Could what PM Workforce does be a short-term solution for them?
Yes, it can be a short-term and long-term solution. So, you know, a lease up, as you know, takes anywhere from 9 to 18 months, maybe 2 years in some very, very large projects. But COVID happens, or, you know, some other financial crisis happens, or interest rates get too high, or whatever's going on in the world affects you carrying your leasing team and your employees. And so, and there's delays in construction, right? That's very, very common. So, you know, you're trying to perfectly time your need for high-level leasing talent to match up with your timetable on developing a property. That's really hard to do.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be inefficient. There'll be inefficiencies in there. And you'll have to carry leasing talent when they're not able to lease for you. So you're paying them for not working.
Right.
That's the opposite of what you're doing with us. You hire us, and it's pure labor efficiency. And we can bring you a very high-level elite team, in fact, to do lease-up. We have lease-up teams that are prepared to do that for our clients.
Walk me through the process. Let's say I'm a multifamily owner, and I'm listening to this show, and I've got an interest. Once I contact you, what is involved in getting that process started?
Sure. So typically, after we get a first contact, we'll set up an initial meeting. These days, they're virtual, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Mostly, they're on Zoom. And then from that meeting, we will have a follow-up, because then we're going to do our homework on the owner and the property they're considering. And then we will have a follow-up meeting where we do sort of a planning session, and we'll present our plan in parallel with their plans and see if we can come to an agreement on a plan. Once we have that, we'll put a plan of execution in place, and we'll start the process. But, you know, at this point, Paul, we're really not accepting bookings of less than 3 months. We really have turned ourselves into a long-term leasing solution. Mm-hmm. We're not a Band-Aid anymore. We realize that we could do more good for the industry and for our clients, and giving truly a stable, high-performance person than coming in and you know, going on and off all the time. It just didn't make any sense. The ability to take the bumps out of the road in this industry, because as we talked before, there are plenty of fire drills that happen. Let's say someone's at 95% leased, and all of a sudden, you know, 40 people move out. They're now not 82% leased. There's a fire drill that goes on. Every manager, regional manager, every person in that office drops everything and starts leasing.
Mm-hmm.
They pull people from other properties. That's a fire drill. You're hurting all your other properties and everything else that's going on in your system to fix this one problem. There's no need to have that. If you do proactive planning, you can have stability in leasing forever, and mm-hmm. that's what we mean by long-term solution.
Yeah, yeah, and I guess the training, for instance, because you mentioned that you find and attract people that want an opportunity and who have not been in the industry. You know, one of the big things that is always on the back of people's mind when it comes to leasing and management of properties is fair housing. So what about that? How do you deal with that?
Well, I think most we test in fair housing, we train in fair housing, mm-hmm. and our standards are set as you might expect, being the company that we are, I think most companies will take a pass rate of 70% on a fair housing exam, and we have an 85% requirement for passing the fair housing demanding test. And, you know, obviously, you know, our people are classroom trained. We use Grace Hill. We use, you know, a lot of the standards in the industry, but we put our own twist on everything, and then we take it well beyond that. So our people come out, they're really ready to go. They're on site. They're required to get leases in a live leasing office. We're paying for it, not our clients. And until they've gotten their leases, and then they come back in for 2 weeks of more training, so fine tune them a bit. And we have continuing education too. So even our people that have been with us for 6 months or 12 months come in to get specialized training in different things, like lease up and like tax credit and senior living and just things that require some extra learning. Mm-hmm. We bring them back in at our cost. And so we just keep investing in our talent and our people. And we know that we'll outperform the marketplace and build our reputation and just keep growing. And so, you know, we have a lot of plans to grow over this year, and we grew a lot over last year. Be happy to share some of those numbers with you if you like.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, so in a year ago, January of 2020, just pre-COVID, we were just in Houston. Mm-hmm. And February of 2021, we're now in 8 cities. Mm. We're in Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, and Austin in Texas, and we're in Orlando, West Palm, Fort Lauderdale, and Miami in Florida. And we're soon to be in Tampa and probably Jacksonville soon as well. So we'll be throughout the state of Florida over the next couple of months. And after that, by a year from now, I would expect we'll be, instead of in 2 states, we'll be in 4 states. We're looking to go to Georgia and Arizona and perhaps more. But, you know, we'll just look to keep doubling and at least doubling every year in terms of where we are. And as we grow, we've been holding off on some of the growth. We've had some real opportunities to go other places, but we're putting some information systems in place, some data management. And once this is done over the next 3 or 4 months, it should allow us to have a much more hockey stick type growth where we can grow nationally without struggling as any emerging company would internally to manage the growth. We'll have the systems in place. We just hired a chief technology person, and you know, we're in that place where we're putting everything together so that we can allow for what we see as big growth coming down the road this year, next year.
Great. And Harris, I wanted to ask you, when it comes to the growth and so forth as a property owner, what type of growth do you see as the potential? Because you actually own properties.
And yeah, I know. When you say growth, you know, I always look, to me, real estate's always a local business. Mm-hmm. So I live in Hartford, Connecticut. When you say growth, it's a different type of strategy than it is down here. And it's, you know, I'm a second generation. My dad was in 14 states, but I was very detached where the best buys are, the local knowledge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been doing this too many years, but I find that even in a stagnant, bad market, I can find opportunity. Sadly, opportunity comes with pain.
Sure, sure.
You know? Somebody has to have pain. They want me to buy their property and get them out of pain, you know, or they have deal fatigue or financial fatigue.
Yeah,
and pain might mean a distress situation in terms of maybe the property needs some improvement, right? Value add, and certainly in those situations, a strong leasing component is essential to pull yourself out of that hole.
Yeah. I would imagine, and we've got a few minutes left, I want to transition into something else in just a second, but I would imagine that because of the different opportunities you have to work on different properties for different owners, you could provide some guidance to a new client regarding some of the things you've seen successful that may not be related to leasing, but may be related to the amenities, may be related to, you know, I hate to use the word concessions, but, you know, that's part of the business. Tell us a little bit about what you think that can entail.
Well, you know, that sort of is a question that leads into the direction we're taking this year, which is capturing data, really understanding what it is we're learning every day on 30, 40, 50 properties a day, right? That information combined and organized in certain ways is really valuable. And it's something we'll share with our clients, obviously. Mm-hmm. And who knows, maybe we'll share with the whole marketplace at some point. But this data management, this information systems that we're creating is it's going to give us a lot more relevance and I don't know if power is the right word, but importance to the market. Because mm-hmm. as you say, everybody needs data, right?
Right.
Even early on when we were a pretty young company, when we didn't have people that were being booked, we sent them out into the marketplace to go introduce themselves to properties. Mm-hmm. And so we called that client engagement. And so, you know, that we learned a lot of things from that. I remember one thing we learned was, you know, we went to 900 of the 2,700 properties in Houston. We were physically on property at a third of the properties in Houston. Mm. And from that, what we learned was that half the time, the property manager was not present. Half the time.
Mm.
So that means the most important person on that property at the time was the leasing person, okay? And so, you know, it's interesting, but I think that's the kind of data we're going to have, and it's really relevant to owners.
Yeah.
That's transparency. You know, those are the kinds of things we've touched upon in this show, but I think, you know, we're going to be a powerful data source very soon.
All right, we've got about 30 seconds left. If somebody is listening to this and they want to get in touch with you, to find out more, to see what PM Workforce can offer to their property, how do they do that?
Well, you just go online and look at our website, pmworkforce.com, and we're also we also have a phone number, and it's a local Houston number, 832-699-BEST-2378.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the best thing is just reach out. We'll set up a call, and you can get to hear our services, and we'll learn a little bit about your properties and figure out if the two are a good match.
All right. And one more yes or no question. If somebody's listening to this and they're in Atlanta or they're in Arizona, two markets that you mentioned that you wanted to go to, Georgia, Arizona, is it too soon to contact you?
No.
Okay. That's great. Well, thank you, Peter and Harris, for being on the show today. It's been a great pleasure to have you here. As always, you bring some great information for our listeners. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of experts. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.